Support for this News from Lake Wobegon podcast comes from the Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort, the bed that lets you adjust the mattress firmness to your preference, your sleep number. And by Honey Nut Cheerios Cereal, made with whole grain oats. Honey Nut Cheerios Cereal can help lower your cholesterol. Honey Nut Cheerios, be happy, be healthy.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out there on the edge of the prairie. Today is Flag Day, so they have the living flag on the main street of Lake Wobegon. It's a big annual celebration, about 800 people. They're hoping for 1,000, but at least they'll get 800, maybe 600. They can form the living flag and get out the red and the blue and the white caps out from those old cardboard boxes from the basement of Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery, and people line up three abreast to form the white stripes and the red stripes and the blue field with the stars, little sparklers holding up in the sky. And Gary is there with the bullhorn. He says, all right, now you reds, come on, you reds, move over here. Now, some of you short reds, I want you to become whites. Well, I want tall whites and I want short reds for the contrast here. So let's move in tight here, people. And they all move in tighter than anybody would ever want to stand who comes from Lake Wobegon. You're standing in close to people you wouldn't even want to look at sometimes. But there you are, you're packed in tight, and you've got to stand there in formation while we do the Pledge of Allegiance and while we sing the Star-Spangled Banner. And while Mr. Detmer recites his poem, Tip Your Hat to the Flag, which is a long poem and which includes the lines, Let Not Your Footsteps Lag, and Think Freedom Is in the Bag. When protesters rail and rag, proud as a mountain crag, it goes on and on for 14 stanzas. He's a poet of tremendous, tremendous determination, and people stand and suffer, knowing that the reason this man writes poems is through false modesty. When we run into him in the Chatterbox Cafe, Mr. Detmer will say things like, I don't know why I write poems. It just doesn't come out right. And because you are a good person, a Christian person, you say, no, they're good. And he says, I'm thinking of quitting writing poems. And inside you're saying, yes, yes, yes. But you can't say that in this town. He says, no, it's a good thing you write a poem about the flag. And so, through Christian charity, we are forced to suffer, which is what Scripture said would happen to us anyway. So there we are. It was a week of violent storms and rain. A lot of softball games got rained out. The Lake Wobegon Fireballers girls fast pitch softball team played St. Rosa on Tuesday, and they were pretty tight until the sixth inning, and then they just got blown out of the water. Just was a terrible, terrible loss. Miss Hattendorf, their coach, chewed them out afterwards, sat them all down on the bench, and she just lit into them and told them how worthless they were, and she was ashamed of them. One girl after the other burst into tears. They were all weeping, all of them except one, Megan Magendance. Looked at her with a dry eye. Megan Magendance, the second baseman who had dropped the pop fly that would have been the third out in the sixth inning, after which eight of those runs were scored, put her chin up and looked at her and refused to shed a single tear. You had to admire that kid just for her steely resolve. She's going to become something, that kid. She's going to run for president, or she's going to do something. She won't do it in Lake Wobegon, but she'll do it someplace. We don't encourage that sort of ambition, that sort of character. We are a modest people. The Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church Ladies Luncheon was on Wednesday, and Jessica, who's the intern pastor, she's from Luther Seminary, she was supposed to do the program for the luncheon. She forgot all about it until she arrived, and so she had to make it up. She stood up after the lunch, and she said, how about we take turns, one by one, standing up and just talking about the joys and the problems of the Christian life. There was a profound silence. We don't display ourselves in this town. There's so little privacy, we cling to whatever we have. We're not about to stand up and talk about the problems of the Christian life in front of other people who know our problems all too well. She coached them. She said, "We did this once in our dormitory my junior year at Concordia, and we opened up to each other, and it was such a life-changing experience." They're not going to do it. Their eyes are locked on their own shoes. They are staring at the floor. She was sort of slowly dying in front of them when the pastor's wife, Judy Inquist, stood up and she said, "This may seem awfully trivial, but what I think of when I think of the problems and joys of the Christian life, I think about making a salad, making food that everyone will like, and yet that's interesting, like this shrimp salad that I made for Sütendamai this year, and I maybe shouldn't have put wasabi in it. Maybe I put too much in, but everybody helped themselves to a little bit, and then I noticed that most of it got scraped into the garbage pail." So that was kind of an experience for me. She sat down, and now that she had opened the floor to discussion of salads, women stood up one after the other to talk about green salads and macaroni salads and potato salads and family and whose salad was better, and Marilyn Tollerud got up to talk about food poisoning and the potato salad that her sister-in-law had brought that had sat in the rear window of the car for too long, and she knew there was something wrong with us. She knew it, and so she did not eat any, but she allowed other people to eat from the potato salad. Her own family, loved ones, going through the humiliation of public vomiting, no time to go anywhere, just right out there in front of other people, projectile vomiting. And she started to weep, and other women wept to think of this humiliation, and there was hugging, and there was solidarity on the subject of salads. These are the people I come from. It was commencement at Lake Wobegon High School on Wednesday, the class of 2008, 108 strong, put on the faded blue gowns and the mortarboards with the gold tassels, and they marched down from the high school and out onto the football field to pomp and circumstance. And all of the parents stood up, and all of the little cameras, the little pinpoints of light, the little flashes, and the parents automatically weeping at this moment, every single last one of them, people you never saw express any emotion in the past. Tears ran down their cheeks. I'm on the verge of tears right now myself, and my kid wasn't even there. People weeping, standing, sobbing, old farmers weeping, and their beautiful daughters in their blue gowns coming down to pomp and circumstance. Mr. Halverson, the superintendent, sat on the stage. He was not weeping. He was so relieved that the school year is over. And now this last challenge. It's a tradition that the senior class each year play some horrible joke on the superintendent. And he's wondering what it will be this year. A couple of years, it involved chicken manure. One year, they hooked up a little water tube, a little hose to the lectern about 3 feet high. And he stood to give his charge to the graduating class, and he felt wetness on this large, dark patch in the front of his pants. And then they released the brake on the lectern, and it skidded off the stage. And he stood there in front of everybody. A couple of times he sat through commencement and nothing happened, and then he turned the ignition on in his car and rockets under the hood, cherry bombs, firecrackers going off. Once the class of 2004 was a really bright class, and they had a radio-controlled balloon that came at low altitude across the field with a little dictaphone hanging from it and a voice that said, "Shut up, let's go. Shut up, let's go. Shut up, let's go." He wondered what they would do now. Well, people were in an emotional mood, and so for that, in order to get people back onto solid ground, you needed a commencement speaker who could get them off the slippery slopes of emotion and into the big barn of boredom. And they had found the right person, a big hefty guy in a suit with a tie with amoeba on it. And he stood up there at the podium in his great big fruity voice. And he said, "When I was invited to come to address you, the class of 2008 this year, I asked myself, what could I say that they would remember for the rest of their lives? And my mind went back these many years to when I was your age. Many more years than I care to remember." It was a merciful sort of a speech. It just was kind of a self-erasing speech. It went on for 15 minutes. People recovered in the course of it. The valedictorian, the salutatorian got up and gave their little speeches about how we should go out now and change the world and hang on to our ideals and not be afraid to make a difference in this world and not to curse the darkness but to light a candle. The class sat and listened to them. They couldn't be less interested in lighting candles. They're looking for bright lights, these 104 kids. They want to get out of this town as soon as they can. They've wanted to ever since they saw a mall in a big city. A really big mall, not a mini mall, not a small town mall, but a huge mall. Just acres of stuff, DVDs and CDs and clothes, everything you could want. Food available to you day and night, all night. Lights flashing, zipping, neon lights. This is a town that closes down at 5:30. Everything except the grocery store and the sidetrack tap and the drugstore, and they close at 9, and sometimes the bar closes at 10. This is a town that values scarcity. Make do with what you have. Treasure what you have. These are people who grew up in the Depression, your grandparents, and they passed it down to your parents. What do you have to do in this town? Nothing. Sit around on a porch on a summer night with a bunch of grumpy old people. Old people sitting around and, "Well, I just don't know. I don't know. People nowadays, what are they thinking? I don't know. People think they get some for nothing. Where does that come from? I wouldn't live in a city if you paid me." These kids can't wait. They just can't wait to get out of this town, to start their life someplace where you can live and be free. Freedom to be able to sleep until 10 o'clock in the morning and to get up and watch quiz shows on TV in the morning while you eat ice cream for breakfast. Ice cream for breakfast. Freedom. That's what we want. No, the commencement speaker finished his speech, and Mr. Halverson got up from his chair for the presentation of the diplomas, and he read the first name, Anderson Andrew Elmer. The middle name revealed at last. The tall boy comes loping across the stage. Kids in the front row are whispering, "Elmer, Elmer, Elmer." Big kid comes loping across, and Mr. Halverson hands him his diploma, and the kid gives him a kind of an odd handshake, and he leans in close, and he says, "Hey, Paul, how they hanging? Good to know you." And Mr. Halverson feels something in his hand, and it's going up his sleeve, under his sleeve. It's a living thing. It's an insect or something. And he swats at it. He tries to slap it, and it's under his arm. And now it's down his back, and now it's down in a very bad place where he cannot slap. And he stands there with his legs sort of crossed as he gives it out to Anderson, Judith, Louise, Anderson, Stephen, William. They all come up one after the other. He's slapping, feeling down around there, waiting for the bite, waiting for the toxins to get into his bloodstream. He gives out 104 diplomas. During the benediction, when everybody's eyes are closed, he reaches down into his pants. There doesn't seem to be anything down there. And then he looks down at his right foot, and there's an enormous spider lying legs up on the ground. He doesn't want to touch it, but he motions to Miss Pearson, who is the biology teacher. She looks at it. It's a phantom spider, also known as the cougar spider. "Is it poisonous?" he said. Depends on who it bites. He's still waiting for the other shoe to drop. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.
The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is brought to you by Honey Nut Cheerios Cereal. Made with whole grain oats, Honey Nut Cheerios Cereal can help lower your cholesterol. Honey Nut Cheerios. Be happy, be healthy.